To Revelation chapter 19 this morning. Revelation chapter number 19, as we were singing about heaven and about future things, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, I want you to just to simply read my word and say a few things this morning. So Revelation chapter number 19, we understand about heaven. We understand about things that are coming. I want us to talk about some future events that the Bible clearly teaches. I believe the Bible is to be taken literally. I don't believe the Bible is just figurative. I don't believe it's just something written by mankind. But I truly believe the Bible is to be taken literally. And so this morning, I want us to read the literal Word of God. And I want the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he says this. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven. And this is what they said. Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication and hath avenged the blood of the servants at her hand. Now, this is an event that takes place after the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. So, right, let me kind of give you a time frame of what's going on. Right now, we are in one of the final dispensations. From the moment that Jesus Christ ascended up into heaven to the time that he returns for his church, which is the rapture, which is, I'm convinced is going to happen very, very soon. Right now, we're in a dispensation. As soon as Jesus Christ returns for his church, immediately following that begins the 7 years of tribulation. There's some people who teach that the tribulation has already begun way back in AD 70. That's not a true statement. The tribulation will not begin until Jesus Christ raptures the church. So all the false teachers and things that are saying that we're in the tribulation, no. We're not in a tribulation. The tribulation is going to make what we're going through right now look like a Sunday school picnic. Okay? So we're not in the tribulation. Now, you say, Brother Brian, who's going to be in the tribulation? Those who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior will go through the tribulation or probably die in the tribulation. But there will be people who are saved during the tribulation period. Okay? But thank God, if you know Jesus Christ, you're saved, and the rapture takes place, you won't be in the tribulation. Praise God for that. Amen? So, we don't have to worry about the events that take place, but here's my concern. Several of us, well, maybe not several of us, but some of us in this very room right now, you're playing the spiritual game, you're not really saved, and when Jesus Christ returns, which could be today, the rapture takes place, you will be here for the tribulation period. Who say, I'll get saved during the tribulation. No. If you do not trust Jesus Christ now, you're denying trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior. The Bible clearly teaches in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 that you will be blinded and you will not get saved during the tribulation period. Satan will send a blindness upon those. You say, well, I got forever. You don't have forever. You've got to understand and realize. So Jesus Christ will come back to the church, will meet him in the clouds, 7 years of tribulation. Satan will think that he has won. He will parade his Antichrist, and he'll parade all these things going on. And he'll think that, hey, I have finally won. But it does not take place. So here in chapter number 19 is where we pick up. Verse number 11. This is at the end of the millennial reign. Here's the word. At the end of the tribulation period. I'm sorry. At the end of the tribulation period, 7 years have taken place. Verse number 11. This is the next event after the tribulation takes. John says, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. So how many of you can identify who this person is? Who is this person? Jesus Christ. This is Jesus Christ riding on a white horse. Now, Brother Brian, do you really believe
and you really want me to believe that Jesus Christ himself is going to come down on a white horse, a white literal horse, yes, I do. Yes. It's going to, we say, well, I've never seen it happen before. It doesn't mean it's not going to happen.
Right.
Okay? All right, look what it says next. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. The armies. Who are these armies?
That's us.
Put your name right there. You are part of that army. And where is this coming from? It's originating in heaven. So we've got to be in heaven when this takes place, the rapture takes place, and pulls us up into heaven, the 7 years of tribulation takes place, and then we come back. But guess what? We're riding on white horses. How many of you are scared of horses right now? Anybody scared of horses? Guess what? You won't be scared of horses up in heaven. All right? You won't be scared of them. You'll be riding. That's what it says right here. It says that the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And then it says, out of his mouth, Jesus' mouth, goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations and shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. See, he's going to come back right now. People look at Jesus like he's some kind of fanciful, milquetoast kind of God. He's got the long flowing hair and the nice beard, and he smells nice. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is coming back to reign and rule on this earth. He's not going to play. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, and he said to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. He's calling the birds of the air going to gather, and they're going to eat flesh. And whose flesh are they going to eat? And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies, and they were gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. So we've got the gathering of the beast and his armies. We got the gathering of Jesus Christ and us. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that was wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast. See, that's one thing I want to kind of clarify also. How I know the tribulation period has not started yet. The mark of the beast is not here. The mark of the beast will not be here until the tribulation period starts. There's a lot of people that say, well, I'm afraid I got the mark of the beast if I got the vaccine, or I'm afraid I got the mark of the beast with my credit card. No, you will not receive the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast will not be here except during the tribulation period. If you belong to Jesus Christ, guess what? You won't get the mark of the beast. You won't have to choose to get to the mark of the beast. You'll be in heaven when the mark of the beast comes. Okay, so don't worry about that. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, and which deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and of the fowls were filled with their flesh. So let me give you the picture. On this side, the great armies of the world are gathered together. The beast and the false prophet. And they've been deceiving the nations during the tribulation period. This whole time, they've been telling them that they're God and that they're Jesus Christ. And all these, and millions of people have believed it. Jesus Christ comes down from heaven on the white horse. We're with him. And they've gathered together to fight Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ takes a hold of the beast and the Antichrist and the false prophet. He takes them and he throws them into the pit of burning fire.
And then the battle commences. We get off our horses and we start killing people. No, we don't. The battle belongs to the Lord.
Yes.
Jesus takes care of them. And then it says the fowls of the air that had been called by the angel that descend and start eating the flesh. And said, Brother Brian, that sounds like a horror movie. That sounds like something somebody wrote just a minute. No, this is going to a future occurrence.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. And only you can answer this. Will you be part of that army? Will you be part of this millions of people who will stand up and say, you're not my God? Will you be part of that army? Or will you be part of the army that descends from heaven with Jesus Christ? Either or. There is no in between. So the battle takes place. Verse number 20, or chapter 20, verse number 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, which is Satan, and the old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. And he set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. So for 1,000 years, Jesus Christ reigns on this earth with us. We reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years on this earth. And then Satan is loosed one more time. And they say, now wait a minute. Why is Satan let out of prison again? Because during that 1,000-year reign, there will be people who were born. There will be people who lived during that 1,000-year reign. But they're still going to deny Jesus Christ. And so when Satan is released from that bottomless pit, he makes one final battle with God. He gathers all those who do not trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. He gathers all those who hate God. And there's the final battle of Armageddon. How many are familiar with that battle of Armageddon? You've heard that term. Okay? Armageddon is not going to take place before the millennial reign. I don't care what the president says. I don't care what the Russians say. Armageddon will not take place in our time period. It will take place after the millennial reign. So don't listen to all that rhetoric. Listen to what the Bible says. So after that 1,000-year reign, Satan is loosed. All right? Verse number 8, it tells you about what Satan's going to do. And he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city around Jerusalem is the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. So a gigantic battle takes place again. But Jesus doesn't do the battling. God does. He sends the fire down from heaven and devours them. No birds, the fire does. Now you're thinking, now wait a minute, Brother Brian. Are you telling me, Brother Brian, that fire is going to come down from heaven and devour all these thousands of people, maybe millions that rebel against God? That's what it says.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Now, this is not the worst part. Look at the next verse, chapter 20, verse 11. John says this, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. So a great white throne appears, he sees it, and the big being that is on the great white throne causes the earth, the people in the earth, to flee away. Why would they be fleeing this person? Why would they be fleeing who's on the great white throne? You would think they would run to him. Verse number 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. the dead. Now, who are these dead people? Let's think about this for a minute. The rapture has taken place. Jesus Christ has returned for His church. So, who is returned with Jesus Christ to heaven? The saints and God. If you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, this is not referring to you. You're not the one fleeing from God. You're not the one who's afraid of God. You know why we have no fear of God? Because Jesus Christ has paid our penalty for us.
Amen.
Jesus Christ has appeared before God in our place. You don't have to fear God. There is nothing to be afraid of in God's presence. Jesus Christ has taken it for us. This is not talking about us right here. So who's it talking about? Everybody who has denied Jesus Christ as their Savior down through the ages. Maybe someone in this very room is talking about right now. The dead are resurrected again. When the rapture takes place, the Christians come up from the ground. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So who's left in the ground? Those who don't know Christ. But here, they're resurrected again. They stand before God, and they're judged according to the things that are written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. Brothers and sisters, if you know Jesus Christ your Savior, you won't stand before God and give an account for your works, because Jesus Christ has given that account for you.
Amen.
What we've done as sinners will not be held to our account because of what Jesus Christ has done. And that's enough to make a backslidden Episcopalian say amen.
Amen.
This is the dead who didn't trust Christ. They'll stand before God. And all of their works will be read to them. Verse number 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Physical death and now spiritual death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That second resurrection takes place. The dead who denied Jesus Christ as their Savior are standing before God, and they have in their minds, wow, we get another chance. God opens up the book and He says, depart from me, for I never knew you. Who's He talking about? People who are playing the game. You look like you're saved, you smell like you're saved, you even talk like you're saved. But you know deep inside you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Brothers and sisters, this is an actual event that's going to happen. That's why I'm so adamant trying to get us to understand. Not by works of righteousness are we saved. Our works are filthy rags. You've got to know Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Amen.
It doesn't matter who your mom and dad is. It doesn't matter who your grandparents are. It matters, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yes.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except by me. So Jesus said, why would God save a sorry sinner like me? Why would God save a holy mess up like me? Because He loved me and He loves you. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to have damnation and eternal fire. You got a place in heaven waiting for you by trusting Christ as your Savior. So look at me just a minute, please. Is eternal fire your destiny? Well, I don't believe all that junk. I don't believe. I think this was just some words written down when John was in a drunken stupor or whatever. Okay? But what if you're wrong? Now let me show you something else real quick. Verse number 20, or chapter 21. John says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth." This takes place after the great white throne judgment. "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and earth passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven," and this is what that voice said, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne," this is what He said, "Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me," John, this is what I want you to write, "for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So, it's plain right there. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand that. Either you are a child of God who has been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, or you're not. If you're not, your future is the lake of fire. But if you are bought by the blood of God, your future is the New Jerusalem. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more parting. So why would somebody choose the lake of fire? Why would somebody choose that? I don't know. I honestly do not know. But here's the great thing. You got a choice this morning. If you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, hallelujah, we got a New Jerusalem coming.
Yes.
But if you don't, the lake of fire is your destiny. Brother Brian, I don't want to go to the lake of fire. I don't want that. What do I do? "Whosoever confesses that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and believes in his heart that he raised him from the dead shall be saved."
Amen.
You don't have to live a perfect life because you can't. You don't have to pay an extreme amount of money because you don't have enough. You don't have to do all the wonderful things because it ain't going to work. You must place your faith in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone.
Yes.
Confess your sins. Ask God to save you. Ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord.
Are you telling me you really believe that, Brother Brian? If I don't believe it, I got no chance of nothing. Why do I do what I do then?
Right.
It's either true or it's not. My eternity depends on the truth or not. How about you? How about you? Now you'll notice I didn't say anything about denominations. You'll notice I didn't say anything about nationalities. You'll notice I said nothing about politics. It's either Jesus Christ or you're against Jesus Christ. That's it. And by the way, Jesus Christ is not a Republican. Jesus Christ is not a Democrat. Jesus Christ is God Almighty Himself.
Amen.
You're either following Him or you're not.
Yes.
May I beg you this morning, with the sound of my voice ringing out, trust Jesus Christ. The lake of fire was not made for you. You don't have to go there. Trust Christ for eternal life. And all God's people said,
amen.
Let's stand together this morning. I don't know why God had me to preach those passages. It was not my intention whatsoever, but the Holy Spirit told me to do that. And I'm giving Him all the glory and the credit for it. If you didn't like it, it's my fault. But if you can glorify God, it's on Him. Here's the invitation time. It's time to stop playing the game. Is Jesus Christ your Savior? That's all that matters. If He's your Savior, hallelujah. But if He's not, today's the day. There's no shame in making sure of it this morning. There's no shame in saying, Brother Brian, I want to make sure Jesus is my Savior. There's no shame in that, because guess what? Jesus died for you. He was buried. And He rose again, and He's coming back. Jesus Christ and Him alone. Heavenly Father, You know our hearts. You know our needs this morning. You know everything that's taking place in our lives. God, for some reason, You wanted me to preach this specifically today. And I thank You for that. I'm asking You, Father, if there's a precious soul in this room that doesn't know You, I pray that because of Your Word, the truth of Your Word, that somebody would trust Jesus Christ as their Savior today. And they would have no part of that lake of fire. Please, God, I didn't preach this to scare anybody, but I wanted to give the truth today. Thank You, God, for Your Word. Thank You for Your Spirit. Thank You for saving our souls through Your Son, Jesus Christ. In His name I ask these things. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you have spiritual business this morning, you want to come trust Christ your Savior, and that's what we show you, come on, there's no shame. Come on down.